enjoyed the fellowship with the preachers. And I appreciate men that will work together for a meeting. Meetings like this in many places are in decline. Because this modern culture, they cannot see the value of what you're doing here. But the fact of the matter is, these young people that are under here need to see this kind of meeting in a modern day. And so it's worth it. And I thought about the property, and we're going to be praying about that for you. I appreciate men leading something that has a vision for something. And you say, oh, we got property here. Yeah, but the thing about it is, if God's dropping it in your lap, He will provide for you to get it. He will. A lot of times people say, I don't see how we're going to do that. Well, the fact of the matter is, we're not seeing things the way God looks at it. Do you believe it'd strain God one bit to supply the money to buy that property? Are you kidding me? They're paving the streets up there with gold. And you think it'd bother him to have to supply this, to buy this little old couple, 3 acres of property here? Wouldn't even strain him a bit. Praise the Lord. And you say, preacher, well, how's he going to get it to us? Well, he's still got a few young'uns that are sensitive to his spirit. And I found this to be true. Sometimes you don't think you can do a whole lot, but if you'll do what you can do, you'll turn around and see that God brings it back to you. I'm not preaching health, wealth, and prosperity like them fellows on television now. Send $1,000 in, you'll get $10,000 back. I'm not preaching that. But the fact of the matter is, God blesses people who are sensitive to the work of God and the leading of God. And I promise you this, some of the happiest days of my life when I've been able to give toward the work of God. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate the Lord, appreciate His goodness. Well, is that all you told me to say? No, He didn't say a word about me saying that, but I felt a tug about saying that. You see, I'm an outsider, come from another place. But it's good that you've got your own place here. And in these days when folks that may have never been here, they drive by and they see all these cars parked out here and they say, what in the world is going on out there? And they already figured out it's not a rodeo or it's not a circus. And so they're figuring out what make this many people want to come sit out in this heat, and which it's a little cooler tonight, and we're thankful for that. But I'll tell you, sometimes it is a witness and a testimony when people drive by here that there's a place like this. And I'm glad that I can be a part in it. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And I'm going to give you a little thought tonight. I hope I can be a blessing to you from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, and I want to start reading down about verse number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, the Apostle Paul writing here, and I want to read these verses tonight, verse number 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. I pray that you'd enable us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the good temperatures you've given us, and Lord, just the good meeting this week. And I pray that you'd help me now as I speak to this people. Lord, would you speak to some heart here tonight? Lord, there may be somebody here with a specific need in their life, and Lord, there may be somebody here, no doubt, in the crowd this size, there's somebody here unsaved tonight. I pray, God, would you speak to them tonight. And Lord, I pray, may the supernatural presence of the Lord be in our midst. God, I pray that you'd help us and enable us to receive your word. And Lord, that it might take root in our hearts. And God, that we might be drawn closer to you. Father, we pray through this meeting. And God, will give you praise for all you do. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Here in the Word of God, the Apostle Paul begins, and he's writing, if you read the whole chapter, he talks about charity. He talks about the love that we're to have and for others and for God. And then he comes down in verse number 8. He begins to talk about charity never faileth. He comes down, talks about those things that will fail and vanish away. But he comes down, and here, where I really want to get to in this message tonight is in verse number 12. The Bible says this, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I'm known." Paul makes a statement. He said, we're in a realm here today that we're looking through a glass darkly. There's a lot of things I can tell you I don't understand about heaven tonight. I only have a glimpse of what the Word of God has given me. I mentioned the fact they're paving streets with gold there, and the Bible tells us about that. But you do realize there's a lot of things in heaven that God has not yet revealed to us. And so we're in a realm that we don't really see all that awaits us. Matter of fact, we don't really see a lot of times all the things that God does for us. You see, God is working on behalf of each one of us tonight. You may be here tonight and you've been praying about something. You can't see anything happening. You see, the fact of the matter is there's two sides of the glass. He said, we're looking through a glass darkly. He said, there's things we don't understand. There's things that maybe are not clear to us right now, but the fact of the matter is we serve a God that's operating on both sides of the glass. We live in the tangible realm that we see, and we go about our daily activities in this realm. In this realm, in the world, we see that, but there is a realm of the unseen tonight that is just as active and just as busy as the realm that we see. Now, I know a lot of people said, well, preacher, I don't know about all that. Well, the fact of the matter is there is a God that's working behind the scenes. I'm glad there's a God that's actively pursuing those that are lost without God. There's a lot of lost people out there and they think, well, ain't nobody on my trail, but the Holy Ghost has done been following them. He's already been, already zeroed in on them, bringing things to pass in their life to bring them to that place that he might save them by his grace. I begin to think about this message, and I'll tell you the story why I begin to develop this message. I was talking to a lady one day over the computer, and this is a lady that they used to live in our town many years ago, and they had moved away, and they were a good family, and my son had actually went to grade school with her son, and a good family, like I said, they had moved away and been gone many years, hadn't talked to them in many years. I didn't exactly know even where they were at, but I'd heard some news, and she had a son that was about the same age as my son. He was a good young man. He'd grown up. He'd gotten married, had a wife and a little boy that was 3 years old and had a good job. From what I understood, he worked in a bank and just had a good career ahead of him, saved by the grace of God. And I'd gotten word. My son came by one day and he said, Dad, and he called this man, young man's name. He said, did you hear about what happened to him? And I said, no, I hadn't heard anything. I hadn't seen this family in many years, didn't know anything much about it. He said, yeah, he said, he passed away. He was like 20, I think about 25 years old, maybe, with a young family. And I said, no, I hadn't heard that. He said, they don't know what happened. He got sick and said that just within a week's period of time, he was gone. And I later found out, I was talking to his mother. She had written something on one of the social networking sites about her son, missing her son. And, of course, the family was heartbroken at the death of this young man. And she began to make some comments about the little boy, 3 years old. His daddy's gone now, and his heart was broken. And I seen some things she'd written, and I responded to it. And she later she sent me a private message. She said, Preacher, I saw where you'd read what I'd written about the death of my son. And she said,
I wanted to ask somebody a question. Somebody with spiritual insight. She said, I always want to give Bible answers to my children and my grandchildren. But she said, Preacher, there's some things my little grandson has been saying and some things he's been talking about since his daddy died that I don't understand. And I said, well, what is it that he's saying? And she, as a matter of fact, I wrote it down so I'd get it, just what the little boy said. She said, Preacher, we were headed to the graveside to put some flowers on my son's grave. And of course, the little grandson was with her, 3 years old. And she said that the little grandson said this. He asked her, he said, why are we taking flowers to Daddy's grave? He said, Dada isn't with Jesus yet, Mama. He came to see me yesterday, and he said, hi, big boy. I love you forever and ever. So he's still here, Mama. She said, when that little boy said that, she said, it just kind of stunned me. I didn't know what to say to that. You know, we're headed to the graveside, and he said, he's still here. He came to see me yesterday. Now, I know a lot of you, you're just kind of raising your eyebrows, saying, what in the world's happening? Well, the fact of the matter is, I have no idea what this little boy might have been experiencing. I thought, surely, well, maybe in his little mind, he misses his daddy, and maybe he's imagining something. Maybe there's something. And then she said it was about 3 weeks later, a couple weeks later, he was over at the other grandparents' house spending the night with, and his mother was there with him, and said at 2 o'clock in the morning, said he woke him up, and this is what he said. He told him, he said, come in my room. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning is what I've got written down here. About 4 o'clock in the morning, he said, come in my bedroom. Said, Dad is in my room, and he's smiling and talking to me. I'm talking about 4 o'clock in the morning. The little boy gets up, tells him his daddy is in the bedroom with him. His daddy's gone on to heaven. And you say, Preacher, she said, Preacher, I don't know what he's experiencing. I don't know what he's imagining. I know he misses his daddy. He don't understand death. He don't understand this. And she said, I need an answer. This is what I began to study, and I began to think about that. I said, well, I said, sis, I cannot tell you what this little boy may be imagining. I can't tell you what he may be experiencing, but I do know this, that we serve a God that's operating on both sides of the glass. And I begin to think about all the instances in the Word of God throughout the Old Testament and New Testament when beings from another realm stepped on this side of the glass. And I know a lot of people, they say, well, that's a little far-fetched. Well, you'll have to tell some of those saints of God in the Word of God, because the fact of the matter. And then I begin to read that verse over there in Psalm 91, verse 11. So for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, and they shall bear thee up against up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot. He said, every one of us got angels that are protecting and watching over us. And then he said in Matthew 18:10, he said, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. I began to think about that, and I said, you reckon that little boy's angel looks a lot like his daddy? I don't know. I'm just giving you something to think about tonight. And I begin to think about that, and I'm preaching on this subject on when God gives us a glimpse behind the glass. I'm glad every now and then in this realm, in the realm we live in, sometimes God gives us a glimpse into what He's doing on the other side of the glass. I begin to read in the Word of God where the Bible said that Jacob's over there one day and he gets in a wrestling match with an angel. I'm talking about a supernatural being. And the Bible said Jacob wrestled all night with him, and finally he said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. And the Bible said that the angel touched the hollow of his thigh, and from that day on he walked with a limp, but he understood this, that he served a God that was operating on both sides of the glass. Amen. I read over in the book of Daniel where Daniel was thrown in the lion's den and they sentenced him to death. And the Bible said when they came the next morning that the king wanted to see what had happened, and Daniel's down there and he said, oh king, I'm here, everything's alright, cause God has sent his angel angel, hallelujah, and he's touched the lion's mouth, amen. You see, Daniel got a glimpse behind the glass. He understood there was interaction from the supernatural realm, hallelujah. I thought about the story over there. Peter in the New Testament is in jail, and the church is making prayer for him, and the Bible said they got a guard on one side of him. He's chained to him. He's chained to a fellow on the other side, and they got guards at the doors, and the Bible said Peter's laying there asleep. Praise the Lord. You think about that. That kind of peace in the jail cell, chained to two guards, and you're laying there asleep. Ain't no use you stay up. God's awake. He'll take care of it. Amen. And the Bible said that the angel of the Lord walked in, smote Peter on the side, and raised him up. I like that. Whenever I'm down and whenever I'm bound, I'm glad I serve a God that operates on both sides of the glass, and he's able to lift me up, hallelujah, out of my troubles. Amen. And the Bible said, he said, Peter, put on your shoes. We're going out of here. And the Bible said they walked out, and the first automatic door in history, the Bible said that big old gate just swung open of its own accord. Amen. I don't know about you. The first time I ever saw those supermarket doors do that, when they started doing that, that was an amazing thing. But Peter was in such a way that that night when he got out in the street, he didn't know if he was having a vision or what was happening. But he finally figured out. He said, God's done delivered me. Amen. I'm glad I serve a God that's every now and then able to give us a glimpse behind the glass. Amen. The Apostle Paul's on board a ship. He's been in a 14-day storm. He's a prisoner, and all hope is lost that they're going to be saved. And the Bible said that Paul stood up in the middle of it and said, sir, be of good cheer. He said, we're not going to perish. Now the boat's not going to make it. But he said, there stood by me this night the angel of God. Hallelujah. You see, Paul got a glimpse behind the glass. I don't know about you, but every now and then in our lives, God will just pull back the glass a little bit and help us to understand that, hallelujah, there's a power in a realm that we can't see with our natural eyes. Sometimes all we see is troubles here. Sometimes all we see is trials. Sometimes all we see is heartache. But aren't you glad on the other side of the glass there's a loving, compassionate God that cares about his people? Amen. And I'm glad he's working tonight on our behalf. Some of y'all came in here with a boatload of troubles tonight, and you can't see how in the world you're going to make it. The fact of the matter is, there's another side of the glass, and there's somebody that loves you, and there's somebody that cares about you. Hallelujah to his name. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm preaching on that thought, on when God gives you a glimpse behind the glass. You say, preacher, when do you think God will do that? Well, I looked at some instances in the Word of God. Number one, I believe you'll get a glimpse behind the glass when the judgment of God is imminent. If you study in the book of Genesis, there's a man by the name of Lot, and he is in Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Abraham took the mountains, and Lot chose the well-watered plains. And the Bible said Lot acclimated pretty well down there in Sodom. Matter of fact, he had reached a place, he was sitting in the gate. And the fact of the matter is, Lot, it's down there, and you can say what you will about him though, but the Bible said that Lot vexed his righteous soul. Lot was a saved man. Now, he wasn't where he needed to be, and he wasn't in the place he needed to be, but he was a child of God. And the Bible said Abraham's up there on the mountain, he's interceding on behalf of Sodom, and he's asking God, said, God, if I can find so many righteous, will you spare it? Finally got down to 10 righteous, and he said, God said, if I can find 10 there, I'll spare it. But you know the story. There wasn't 10 righteous in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God said, all right, I'm sending judgment. This is what I like about it. There's one man down there saved. And before the fire fell and before the judgment came, God said, we got to get my child out of there. Hallelujah. We gotta. You see, judgment's coming, and one of those wicked, abominable sinners in Sodom knows it's coming, but there's one that gets a warning, and his name's Lot. The Bible said he's sitting in the gate of the city, and he looked up and he saw two men coming there. And Lot got up and he bowed himself down. In his mind, no doubt, he thought, them fellas ain't from around here. Amen. I'm here to tell you they were from another realm. And the Bible said that they told Lot, said, Lot, we've come to get you out and your family. God's getting ready to send judgment. Let me tell you something right now. I believe we're nearing the judgment of God upon this nation and upon this world. And sometimes when we flip on the news, we look at the world scene and everybody in the world's going crazy, losing their mind, wondering what's going on. And all the while, we've been given a glimpse behind the glass. I mean, I turn on the news and I pick up my Bible and God's already showing me what's going on. Hallelujah. You ought to rejoice tonight that we as God's people, amen, we're not in darkness tonight. Hallelujah. I'm glad we see this thing wrapping up. Amen. And I'm glad there's a God that every now and then when He's getting ready to judge this world, He's going to give us a glimpse behind the glass. You see, Lot had a supernatural intervention. Took him by the hand. Let's get out of here. Let me tell you something right now. It may be some of you have been praying for your loved ones to be saved. And before the judgment falls, God may work supernaturally to see that that happens. Hallelujah. Don't give up praying. Amen. Oh yeah, don't give up. Just keep praying. Amen. You say it don't look like they're going to get right. God can shake their world. I think about an old Philippian jailer over there. He had Paul and Silas down in the inner prison. And guess what happened? They began to sing and pray at midnight. And you know what the Bible said? The foundations of the prison shook. Do you realize? You see, that prison didn't mean nothing to Paul and Silas. That was just where they'd been thrown in. But here was an old boy. This was his daily job. This was his daily routine. This was where he spent a lot of his time. And all of a sudden, God said, I'm going to shake your reality, boy. I'm going to shake it. Hallelujah. And the Bible said He sent an earthquake, and the shackles fell off of them prisoners, and the doors opened. Amen. And that old boy came in, and he fell down on his knees and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Let me tell you something. When God begins to supernaturally shake the reality of a human being, you better believe they'll find themselves on their knees. Amen. God may rock your world just to get you saved by the grace of Almighty God. Aren't you glad that every now and then God will give us a glimpse behind the glass? When the judgment of God is imminent, we're liable to get a glimpse behind the glass. I begin to think about another instance in the Word of God that God gave a glimpse behind the glass. When I think about this, you'll get a glimpse behind the glass when things are too hard for you. In that same story, the first part of it, the other side is Abraham. He's been promised a son. You know the story, how him and his wife tried to help God out. That didn't turn out too well. We're still paying a price for that today. But the Bible said that Abraham's sitting out there in the heat of the day in his tent door. All of a sudden he looks up and here comes three men. Now two of them was the two that went on into Sodom, two of the angels, but that third one didn't go into Sodom. I like it, praise God. And the Bible said Abraham looked out and he saw them and he ran to meet them and he bowed himself down too, because Abraham said, y'all ain't from around here, are you? And the Bible said, he said, Sarah, go ahead and make a meal. We've got some guests. And the Bible said, Sarah's over there making a meal. And the Lord begins to talk to Abraham, said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. Now, they're past the days of childbearing years. I mean, Sarah's past it, and Abraham's old, and it is humanly impossible that they're going to have another child. I mean, it's not in the human realm. They don't have all the scientific knowledge even that we have
today and all that they can do today, they did not have it. So in the human realm, it seemed like it was not a possibility. But the Bible says that God, the Lord looked at him and said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And when he said that, Sarah heard that, and she laughed in the tent in her heart. And all of a sudden, the Lord looked and said, is anything too hard for God? Boy, I'm glad that whenever we've come up against something in our life that looks humanly impossible, I'm glad that when it looks like it's not within the realm that can be accomplished, I'm glad when it looks like that there's no way it can happen, I'm glad that's just prime territory for God to give you a glimpse behind the glass. I'm glad, hallelujah, He can roll back the glass. I'm glad the things that's impossible with man is possible with God. Aren't you glad tonight? Amen. Every now and then, God can give you a glimpse behind the glass. I've got a little family out of my church, a preacher and his family, and the pastor's now and precious saints of God, young preacher and his wife and daughters, and their daughters are getting up close to teenage years now. But they're some of the dearest friends I've got in this world. They've got a girl, she's almost a teenager, she's in her teen years now. But when she was born with cystic fibrosis, and they took her to the hospital. They didn't know what was wrong with her, and they knew she just had something wrong, and they diagnosed her with cystic fibrosis. And I'll never forget her mama, Miss April. She's actually a second cousin to me. She's a godly little old lady, and she's a shouting little old woman. I'll tell you what, God gets in the place, and Miss April gets plugged in. It's as real as it gets. And I'll never forget a story she told me, preachers. When they'd first diagnosed their daughter with cystic fibrosis, of course, they didn't know anything about the disease, and they were overwhelmed that their little girl's sick. And they had sent her to the hospital in Knoxville, Tennessee. And this was the first time they'd had to take her down there. They had to do a procedure with that disease. It affects your lungs, and they have to try to clean them out. And this was the first time they were going to have to do something of that nature. And she told me this story. She said, preacher, she said, I'm going to tell you what happened down there. She said, that day they told me, said, now we got to take Sarah. And said, we got to take her, clean her lungs out. But said, you can't go back with her. Said, you can't go. We've got to take her. And she said, preacher, that day when they took little Sarah down the hall and said, Sarah wasn't very old, but said she was, I could hear her hollering, Mama, don't let them take me. Mama, Mama, why aren't you going with me? And she said, my heart was so overwhelmed that day. I could hear my little girl crying as they was taking her down the hall. And she said, I got so overwhelmed. I said, I can't take this. I've got to go somewhere. And she said, I went down in the hospital there. Said, if I could just get out of sight where I can't hear her, said, I might be able to bear this. She said, I got down there and there was a little chapel there, a little prayer chapel. She said, I thought, I'll go in there and see if I can pray. And she said, my heart was overwhelmed. I had such a load. My heart was broken. I said, God, I don't understand this. And she said, I went in there, said it wasn't much in the little place, but said that it was right before Easter, and said they had a little table sitting there and had Easter lilies sitting on it that hadn't bloomed out yet. And she said, I just fell down on my knees in front of that little old table with that Easter lily on it, and said, I began to pray. And she said, I don't know how long I prayed, but I cried and prayed till there wasn't nothing left in me. She said, I just cried and prayed about my youngin', and she said, I was just wore down. And she said, finally I got done praying, and she said, preacher, I know you ain't going to believe this, but she said, you know, I just asked God. I said, God, I need to know that you're here. I need to know, so I need you to show me. And she said, I was there on my knees wiping tears out, still on my knees, and said, I just raised my head up, and I was looking at that Easter lily. It's sitting there, and it hadn't bloomed out yet. And she said, while I was sitting there wiping tears, all of a sudden, she said, that thing popped open, and said, just sprung open like that right there, right in front of my face. And she said, it kind of startled me for a minute. And then all of a sudden she said, the Holy Ghost of God began to tell me. He said He'd be your lily in the valley. He said that He'd... And she said, preacher, all of a sudden she said, I couldn't help it. She said, I began to shout. She said, I shouted. She said, probably on the outside of that door, people in the hallway probably thought somebody had lost their mind in there. But she said, that day God came in the room, and it was just a little thing, but God gave her a glimpse behind the glass. I'm glad when it's too hard for you and you feel like you can't carry the load that you're carrying, I'm glad God will show up in a little way, and He'll let you know that He cares, and He'll let you know, hallelujah, that you're His. Amen.
I had another little saint in my church, and she had a precious boy that was born. He was an invalid all of his life, lived 29 years. She cared for him like a little baby all 29 years of his life. And I'll never forget her telling me, this is my first cousin now that I'm telling you about. And she loved that boy. And I'll never forget, he was in the hospital getting pretty sick, about ready to make the crossing. She told me this story. She was down there, and she was staying the nights there at the hospital with him all by herself. And she said, Preacher, that night, said Kevin was really bad. And said the doctors came in and said, don't look like he's going to make it through the night. She said, I was there by myself. And she said, I was so overwhelmed. This is my world, Preacher, for 29 years. This has been my world. And she said, I just staggered out into the hall and leaned up against the wall and just was a-crying. Said there wasn't nobody there. It's in the middle of the night in the hospital. Only people there is the workers. She said, I was just leaned against the wall crying. And she said, all of a sudden I felt an arm come around me. And said, there was this precious little lady. And she said, I don't know where she came from. But said, she hugged me up and said, honey, I just want you to know it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. God's here with you, and it's going to be all right. And she said, I couldn't even talk to her. And she said, I just closed my eyes, went to crying again, and said, I got to feeling just a little bit better, and I thought, I'm going to thank her for what she did. And she said, when I opened my eyes, said I looked, and she wasn't nowhere to be seen. She said, Preacher, I don't know where she went. I was overwhelmed, my tears, said, I don't understand. But said, Preacher, she was gone just like that. You say, Preacher, what do you think happened? All I know is this, is a God that works on both sides of the glass. She told me, this is what she said to me later. She said, ain't that just like the Lord to send what you need when you need it? In the middle of the night, in the hall in the hospital, when you can't hardly hold yourself up, and all of a sudden the stranger puts their arm around you and says, God, it's going to be all right, honey. It's going to be all right. Boy, I'm glad to tell you tonight, every now and then, hey, listen, I'll tell you one thing right now. I'm about to have a running fit, praise the Lord. I'm here to tell you there's a God that's able. I'm glad there's a God that when you're down and out and when you can't hold your head up, I'm glad there's a God that's able to give you a glimpse behind the glass. Amen. He'll give you a glimpse when things are too hard for you, when the judgment of God is imminent. I'll tell you when He'll give you a glimpse. He'll give you a glimpse when you're weary and worn down and feel like giving up. There's a man of God by the name of Elijah in the Word of God. He's the most famous weather forecaster in history. If you don't believe that, do you realize the first picture we have of Elijah is him giving a weather forecast on Ahab's door. Said it ain't going to rain a number of years. And guess what? He ain't like the weathermen on television. He hit it right on the head. Predicted a 3-year drought. And it happened. And in that 3-year period of time, when it came time, God said, now go show yourself to Ahab again. You know the story, how they challenged the prophets of Baal to the Mount Carmel contest. And how that Elijah called down fire from the sky and all the people saw who the true God was. If you're ever going to book Him for a meeting, now's when you want to get Him, when the fire falls. You'd think everybody'd be liking Him then. I mean, He's the one that's getting ready to pray and a little cloud's going to come up out of the sea. And a great rain. The Bible said it was a great rain. When you had a great drought, you need a great rain. Our churches need a great rain. Amen. But the Bible said this, that Ahab went back
Jezebel said, "Now, how'd everything go on Mount Carmel?" He said, "You don't want to know." "What do you mean?" "Oh, he's killed your prophets of Baal. 500 of them, slew them." The Bible said, Brother Lester Roloff said, that's what you call a non-profit organization right there. Killed every one of them, praise the Lord. Non-profit organization. And the Bible said that Jezebel got so mad, she said, "I'll tell you one thing right now. If I don't do to that man of God by this time tomorrow what he's done to them." And she put a death threat on the head of God's man. And Elijah done what any sensible preacher would do. He took off a running. Amen. Let me tell you something right now. Now, we can be big and bold in the pulpit, but when they done said, by this time tomorrow, they're going to be picking your casket out, you better head for the hills, friend. And the Bible said he went a day's journey out in the wilderness. He's weary, he's worn down, and he sits down under a juniper tree and begins to write out his resignation. He said, "It's enough, O Lord. Go ahead and take me out. I can't take no more. It's enough. I've done all I could do. And it's enough, God." I've prayed a few of those prayers in my ministry. When the burdens would get so heavy and I got weary and worn down, I would say, "God, go ahead and just take me on home." But you know, as I've aged and gotten older in the ministry, I've gotten a little wiser. I've changed the way I pray now. I used to pray God would kill me, but now I pray God would kill them. Now, God don't answer a lot of them prayers. And now, I know, now some of y'all right now already started making, you say, "I didn't know you could do that." You done made a mental prayer list in your name of people right now. And that's wrong to do that. But God don't answer those prayers. He don't kill them either. But the fact of the matter is, Elijah's sitting there begging God to die, and he falls asleep. And all of a sudden, Elijah got a glimpse behind the glass. The Bible said an angel touched him and looked at him and said, "Arise and eat." And the Bible said he looked and there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. Now this is how tired Elijah was. He just got up and went and eat. You say, "What do you mean how tired he was?" I promise you tonight, 2:00 in the morning, I'm in the bed asleep and an angel shakes me and wakes me up and says, "Hey, I got something fixed for you to eat over here." I'm going to sit and stare at that rascal about 2 hours before I eat anything. But Elijah's so overwhelmed, he just gets up and goes and does it and goes back and lays down and goes to sleep again. And the Bible said the angel came and touched him again and woke him up and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey's too great for thee." And the Bible said he ate that, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb. Let me tell you something right now. Some of you may have come in here thinking you can't set the other foot in front of the other and that the journey's about over for you and you don't have the strength, and you may be here as a pastor. You say, "I've exhausted everything I know to do. I feel like sometimes just writing out the resignation, throwing up my hands and waving the white flag, but I'm here tonight. God's able to give you a glimpse behind the glass. I'm glad he can bake you a cake when you need it the most. Amen. I'm glad he can send revival. I'm glad he can stir you." Hallelujah to his name. See, think about that cake deal. I thought about that cake. You see, in the previous chapter, Elijah, in the second leg of his journey, after he went to the brook Cherith there, the second stage, God says, "Now, get up, the brook's dried up, go up to Zarephath, place of refining," is what that means. And the Bible said, "I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And there's a little widow woman there, she's getting ready to fix a last meal and die. She's only got a handful of meal and a little oil in a cruse. And Elijah said, "Hey, go ahead and get me some water." She said, "I ain't got none." "She ain't got no..." He said, "Fix me a cake." She said, "I ain't got but a handful." He said, "You fix me a little cake first." He got the little cake there. But when he's under a juniper tree getting ready to throw up his hands and cash it in, the Bible don't say nothing about that being a little cake. He got the whole deal when he needed it just on time. I'm glad I serve a God that'll let you have your cake and eat it too. Praise God. I'm here to tell you, we serve a God that's able tonight, hallelujah, to give you a glimpse behind the glass. Some of you may have come in here weary tonight in your service. God may be baking you a cake tonight.
to give you strength for the journey ahead. You say, preacher, when will we get a glimpse behind the glass? When it's too hard for us. When the judgment of God's imminent. When we're weary and worn down. And last of all, He'll give us a glimpse behind the glass when we're fearful and worried about the situations of life. I read in the book of 2 Kings over there, there's a man of God by the name of Elisha. And the Bible said that the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he's sending his troops here and there, and every which way he sends them, it's like Israel's prepared for it when they get there. And he called his crowd in one day, said, I want to know who's for the enemy here. Somebody here is letting it out what we're doing. And one of them spoke up, said, no, said, we're all for you, but said, that servant of God, Elisha, said, he's a telling Israel the secrets you say in your bedchamber. Everybody was amazed when they came out on the news with that NSA spying scandal, that they're listening in on stuff, phone calls and emails and all kinds of stuff like that. I got news for you. God was doing some of that a long time before man ever had the ability to. They said, King, he's a telling them what you're talking about in your bedroom. That ought to give you pause about going home criticizing your preacher. You think ain't nobody listening, but God could be telling somebody what you're saying. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, the king of Syria said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. So I'm going to send my army down there. They said, he's down at Dothan. I said, send him down there and bring him back here. The Bible said, Elisha and his servants down there, and in the morning the servant gets out and walks out. I imagine he's stretching his arms. He's just had a good night's sleep, and he looks up on the hill, and all around the hill, all around the mountain, is the Syrian army camped out all about him. And that old boy cries out, alas, master, how shall we do? He said, man, we ain't going to make it. How are we going to get out of this? We are outnumbered. The odds are against us, Elisha. And the Bible said the man of God walked out there, and he began to pray. He said, Lord, would you open his eyes? And about that time, that old boy got a glimpse behind the glass. The Bible said he looked up on the hill, and round about the Syrian army was horses of fire and chariots of fire. Elisha looked at him and said, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Boys, sometimes we feel like we're the minority in this world, and we are. Sometimes we feel like that the odds are against us as God's people. Sometimes we feel like we're few in number. But let me tell you something tonight. I'm here to tell you, gladly tell you, that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Aren't you glad we serve a God? Hallelujah. That's able every now and then to give you a glimpse behind the glass. Amen. I always tell preachers this to encourage them. We're living in the day where people are sporadic in their church attendance. One Sunday the building will be filled, and you think, man, we're going to have to add on this place. Next Sunday they'll be half gone to the beach or the mountains, and you'll say, which way did they go? But I try to encourage them when it's like that. You look back and you see some empty spots in them pews, and you think, man, that's discouraging. But if you could really see who all was there, if you could only see behind the glass, it might be standing room only. I have been in meetings, I'd be traveling back at night by myself in the car, and the presence of God would get so thick in the car that I was almost afraid to look in my rearview mirror, because I felt like the back seat was filled with angels stacked on top of one another. And I figured that might give me quite a fright to see that in the back seat and them smiling back there at me. Hallelujah. You say, you got a vivid imagination. I've got a real God that still works. Hallelujah. And every now and then, boy, I'm glad that you can feel a presence from another world. I don't know about you,
But I believe we're a generation. I believe we're going to see a glimpse behind the glass. You know, Paul had an experience over there, and he wouldn't even call his name when he's telling us, "I knew a man." Whether he was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Said he saw things and heard things that's not even utterable. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that we serve a God? I told that little old lady, I said, "Listen, I don't know what your little grandson may be experiencing, but I do know this, where his daddy's gone, that God's the one that's operating on the other side of the glass. And I don't know but what God might have sent one of them little angels for that little child that's heart was broken that looked like his daddy and said, 'Hey, big boy, just want you to know I love you forever and ever.'" Hallelujah to his name. Now, I know some of you don't believe that, and that's why you don't ever get blessed by nothing. Only people get blessed is people that believe stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, you can be a skeptic if you want to, but thank God I'm glad, hallelujah, that I serve a God that when my heart's broken, He'll just give me a glimpse behind the glass. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the message tonight. Thank You for the Word of God, how You've helped us. And Lord, I pray that You'd help somebody here. Lord, maybe somebody here tonight that's weary and heavy laden. Lord, there may be somebody here and they're facing something that's just too hard for them. And Lord, they don't see how in the world they're going to be able to make it. Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that's worried because it seems like the odds are against them. It seems as though there's nothing happening in the prayers they've been praying. But God, I pray that tonight would You just go ahead and give them a glimpse behind the glass. Lord, I pray You'd help us tonight as we stand to our feet. Our heads bowed, some's already coming to this altar tonight. You may need to come and ask God to help you. It might be you need God to bake you a cake tonight. Say, "God, I need You to help me," as they sing tonight. Oh, yes, you come right on. God's speaking to you. Yeah, praise God. I'm glad He's working tonight. He's working on your behalf tonight. Just bring it to Him tonight. You've got a heavy load on you. You're weary in heart, mind, and body. You ought to come. Run to this altar tonight. Let God help you tonight. That's right. Just come right on. Let God help you tonight. Somebody here tonight, you're here and you need to be saved. Boy, tonight would be a good night for you to come. Oh, God, speak in your heart. You can do business with Him tonight. Oh, God will help you tonight. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Come on now. God, speak into your heart. Just come on tonight. You need to pray for somebody tonight. Come on. You're praying for a loved one to be saved. Come on and pray for them tonight. Anybody else? Oh, yes. Obey God tonight. Let Him help you tonight. That's right. That's right. Just come on now. Oh, yes. Get in this altar tonight. He'll help you. He'll give you a glimpse behind the glass. Amen. Hallelujah to His name. Oh, yes. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. You got something too hard for you tonight? Bring it to God. Let Him help you tonight. That's right. That's right. Anybody else? Come on tonight. God's speaking to your heart. Just come on. Let God move. Let Him show you tonight what He wants to do. I'm glad He'll help you tonight. That's right. Anybody else? That's right. Come on now. Don't wait on somebody else. You move tonight. Let God help you tonight. That's right. Anybody else? Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Come on now. God's speaking to you. You ought to come. He's doing it for a reason. He's wanting to help you tonight. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, praise His name. Yes, praise God. Yeah, come on now. Oh, yes. Yes, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise His holy name. Oh, yes, that's right, that's right. You've got something on your heart tonight, just come on. This altar's open tonight. You need to be saved. You need something in your life. I'm glad He'll help you tonight. Don't carry that load by yourself. Oh, don't try to do it on your own. Let God help you tonight. He's wanting to bake a cake for somebody here. He's wanting to refresh you. He's wanting to revive you. He's wanting to stir you tonight. Let Him help you tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. praise His holy name. Oh, thank God. That's right. That's right. Just come on. Just keep coming. That's right. God speak in your heart. You'll just come on tonight. Let God help you. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, praise His holy name. Oh, yes. Oh, praise His name. Yes, Lord.